Kicks it around and brought down back near midfield.
The ball comes out.
Well, that wasn't a good decision by Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, told me I was going to be benched.
This decision gives us a chance to win number 8.
Russell Wilson's going in one direction, the Broncos are going in another, and we'll see where they both wind up.
Oh, as we welcome you to NFL Live, we have a full house today, and look who's back. It's Ron Rivera. I guess yesterday wasn't too terrible, huh?
No, it wasn't. The best part was afterwards, nobody criticized.
There you go. I love it. It's so much easier than coaching,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes,
right?
It is.
You didn't even have to do a press conference.
No.
It was great. We have you on today with Mike Tannenbaum and Damian Woody. And let's get started in Denver, shall we? So let's ride, everybody. Russell Wilson given the green light by the Broncos to talk to other teams yesterday as they have to deal with that dead cap hit of $85 million. Today, they release Pro Bowl safety Justin Simmons. Second team All-Pro for 4 of the last 5 years. Saves them $14.5 million on the cap, but absolutely painful. Woody, as here he is, the heart and soul of the defense. Where does this leave the Broncos?
Yeah, Hannah, with one less highly talented, versatile player in the back end of their defense. And what we're seeing happening is just the business of football at play. A lot of, you know, fans and people that follow the game of football, they see everything that happens on the field. But we're at the time of the year where hard business decisions are being made. Guys that are who are still highly productive are caught in situations like this. So, you know, this is a blow to the Broncos defense, and they're going to have to make up for it through the draft or via free agency.
All right, you're the only person here who's been there as a head coach making a cut like this. What's it like?
It's difficult, Hannah. It really is, because especially when they bring you to the list of guys that we've got to choose from, you've got to determine who's going to be the best fit for you as far as saving a little bit of cap space, and then you've got to make some tough phone calls and bring guys in and tell them, hey, we got to move on, and it's purely business. And that's the truth of the matter, but it's also disappointing because these are quality young men.
Yeah, the cupboard is really bare there in Denver. Mike, what's the best strategy to rebuild this franchise?
Yeah, well, Hannah, they do have a couple of pieces on the offensive line, two good tackles. They have to re-sign Lloyd Cushenberry, their young, talented center. But it goes back to the quarterback position. If things go well, Hannah, remarkably, they're going to get the third best quarterback in the division behind, obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And, you know, Dee Wood alluded to this. What's remarkable about the Russell Wilson situation is this. They traded 2 years ago for Russell Wilson, who had 2 years left on his deal. So they could have actually acquired Russell Wilson, let him play out his contract, but now they're stuck with $124 million in dead money from that August of 2022 extension when he got traded. So to me, it was a bad trade, but it was also the timing of the extension that really hurt them, because that $124 million is making them cut players like Justin Simmons.
Coach, how long a leash does Sean Payton have here, given everything that they have to do?
I think he's got a pretty long leash, because the truth of the matter is they signed him to a really healthy contract. So he's going to be there for a while. So to me, go out and find your quarterback. Now is your opportunity. Be aggressive in this coming draft, because that's how you're going to have to build your team. You're not going to have the type of capital you would like to have to go out and get players in free agency. So you've got to figure out ways to be aggressive in the draft. Hey, find your young quarterback and start to build your football team.
You got the 12th pick, D. Woody.
Yeah, this seems like a prime place for them to go get a quarterback, whether it's staying pat at 12 or possibly moving up. But, you know, Coach Rivera is right. Like, in this situation, if you're Sean Payton, you got to find your next signal caller. Because guess what? When you're sitting in the AFC West, you know who you're competing up against? Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. So if you don't have a quarterback, you have obviously no chance to win.
Yeah, and that hurts losing Simmons with those two quarterbacks as well. Lots of needs there. And they don't have a second-round pick because they traded that to the Saints to get Coach Payton. Okay, let's talk about the Bills. Talk about some cold, hard business decisions. A series of moves to get under the cap before the new league year. Restructuring Von Miller's deal, along with that, a cornerback Rasul Douglas. Miller's soon to be 35 years old. When the team made a splash signing him in 2022, it really impacted that roster in several ways, along, of course, with extending Stephon Diggs that same year. In addition to restructuring the contracts, the Bills have also released 6 players. This happened yesterday, including a pair of former All-Pros, safety Jordan Poyer cornerback Tre'Davious White, who has been injury-plagued the last couple of seasons. They entered yesterday $40 million over the cap. These moves saved them more than $36 million in cap space. And to replace Poyer, Buffalo agreed to a three-year extension with safety Taylor Rapp. And I'm sure all the Bills fans' heads are spinning. How concerned are you, D. Woody, about this defense at this point?
Well, it's going to be hard to replace the production that you saw from those guys being released. You're talking about some guys that were some of the best at their positions for quite some time, you know. And so when you talk about the Buffalo Bills, the one thing about their defense, their secondary was elite, especially when they had Leslie Frazier as the defensive coordinator. That's what made that defense so special. So having to go out there and replace three starters on the defensive backfield, It's gonna be tough to replicate. They're gonna have to go out here. Obviously, you talked about Taylor Rapp signing a 3-year deal, but they're gonna have to replenish that back end with guys from the draft and younger players. Will have to step up big time for that Buffalo Bills defense.
You know, D. Wood, for me, this really seems like the trend in the league when you have these star quarterbacks. You look at Kansas City; they pay obviously Patrick Mahomes, and they go out and they draft a lot on the back end, be it Trent McDuffie or Josh Williams, and I think that's where Buffalo is. They got Greg Rousseau. They have Von Miller coming back on a pay cut, Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, and I think they're going to go just really young on the back end. And when you have Josh Allen and you could score the way Buffalo can, that formula does work. We saw that a decade ago. Peyton Manning on all those great Colt teams, be it Dwight Freeney, Rasheem Mathis, where they had a great offense and a couple pass rushers and go young on the back end. So you hate to cut players like a Jordan Poyer or Tre'Davious White, but that's just the reality of the cap allocation.
Yeah, you never know. White could still be back with them. And then look at what they did. They signed Leonard Floyd really late last year in June. So, you know, these rosters obviously are not set until the season begins, Ron. So there's a lot to be sorted out. And you mentioned that Brandon Bean always has a great plan. But talk me through the return on investment with Von Miller and how they get the most out of him going forward.
Well, I think from this point really now, it's about getting Von to the regular season. So everything they do in the offseason, everything they do once they get to training camp will be really about conditioning him, getting him ready to play as much of the full season, regular season that he can, so that by the end of the year, when they're starting to peak, getting ready for playoffs, he's playing at his best. So a guy like that can really impact the rest of the team. They've just got to make sure he gets to the playoffs.
Yeah, Ron, listen, as a veteran, I know all about being on, being taken care of as a veteran guy. And that's going to be the case with Von Miller in this situation because you're right. It's not, right now it's not important. It's about getting to when the games really matter. We know Von Miller, he still has some juice in the tank as far as rushing the passer. He might become more of a situation, not a three-down type guy. But at the end of the day, when you got a guy that can affect the game at the most critical moments, those guys are valuable. So I can see the Buffalo Bills taking that approach with Von Miller.
D. Woody, really quick, how did you preserve yourself late in your career?
Mike T can talk to that a lot. I didn't practice a lot. I was doing a lot of rehab and in the training room, stuff like that. But listen, at the end of the day, I was on the field when it mattered most.
He didn't miss a paycheck, though, Hannah. That's one thing he didn't miss. He could have missed practice, but he didn't miss a paycheck.
He managed to walk all the way to the bank. All right, guys.
Hannah, he paid for this right here, Hannah. He paid for this.
Yes, he did. That beautiful piano right behind you, and I'm sure a very beautiful home. Thank you, Mikey T, the gift that just keeps on giving. All right, guys, coming up here on NFL Live, we have some other things to talk about. In fact, so much to talk about. Just getting started. Riverboat Ron in the studio. So we had to get some bold predictions for this offseason, including a big swing that he thinks the Cowboys should take. Plus, with the Panthers tagging Brian Burns, another guy that Ron knows well. What does that mean for his future in Carolina? And why Woody says trading him might be the best thing.
Got me on that rebound, rebound, rebound. Catch me on that rebound.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a stacked card UFC 299 is next Saturday night, highlighted by the bantamweight title main event. The main card begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on pay-per-view, with the prelims at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN News and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. 9 players receiving the franchise tag this offseason. 8 of those non-exclusive tags, meaning the player can sign an offer sheet with a different team, but the current team has the right to match it or receive 2 first-round picks if the player leaves. And one of those, of course, is Panthers edge rusher Brian Burns, who was selected by our very special guest here on NFL Live, one Ron Rivera, in the first round of the 2019 draft. They tagged him just hours before the deadline, just over $24 million for one season. And I just explained how that tag is going to work. And as I recall, he was really emotional, wasn't he?
Yes, he is. He's a very emotional player as well.
Yeah.
You know, he really plays on true emotion. So, you know, being drafted by a team that he considered one of his hometown teams, he wanted to be part of it, and so he was very emotional. It was good to have a guy like that on the football team as well. He's a dynamic player, very explosive. And, you know, they tagged him for a reason, because they don't want him walking out and only getting a third-round pick. So they're either going to try and get him signed long-term, or they're going to try and use him as trade.
Okay, what should they do?
Well, I think, you know, they tried to get him signed last year. It didn't work. They had a chance to trade him. They didn't trade him. Mm-hmm. So now they tagged him. They're going to try and get as much as they can, I believe, just because they don't have a first-round pick this year. So if they can get some draft capital from somebody and maybe a veteran player or two as well being thrown in, they'll probably pull the trigger and do that.
Give me a team.
Well, you know, there is a team out there I know pretty well. The Commanders are a team that has a lot of draft capital and some veteran players that they could possibly trade. So why not reach out to them and see if they are interested?
All right. Fellas, what do you think?
Well, Hannah, first of all, let's congratulate Coach. He drafted a great young pass rusher, 46 sacks, only 26 years old. Keep him. That's the object of the exercise. We want players like Brian Burns that are young, durable, productive, and are pass rushers. So, look, they're expensive. I understand that. But if you're Carolina, you're desperate for building blocks, Hannah. These are the types of players you want in your program. So I would work really hard to try to keep him if you can. Now, with that said, hypocritically, we once traded John Abraham, who was also a really good young pass rusher, who we tagged and wound up doing a very unusual three-team trade. We wound up getting a first-round pick, and that turned out to be Nick Mangold. So, you know, Damian Woody needs as many friends on the offensive line as possible. But if I'm Carolina, I do everything I can within reason to keep him.
This is all going back to the history between the two of you, by the way, this NFL Live. Dee, what do you think they should do with Burns?
Yeah, I think they should trade him. I just think when I look at the Carolina Panthers, you got a young quarterback, you know, that you drafted number one overall. This team is so this team needs a lot of talent, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Remember, they trade away DJ Moore. You know, they trade away Christian McCaffrey, so they don't have many playmakers to help your young quarterback. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about. It's all about empowering your quarterback. And I know Brian Burns is an exceptional pass rusher, but I think the way this team is constructed, it just doesn't make sense to allocate that amount of money when your young quarterback that you picked number one overall last year doesn't have the requisite talent around him.
Right, D-Witt, I'm all about developing Bryce Young, but in this year's draft, you could find quality receivers in the second or the third round. So, to me, again, I want to keep a building block, somebody that Coach Rivera drafted, again, because of the production, the position, the durability. To me, he checks every box. So, I'll go find somebody in the second or third round to help Bryce Young, but I want to keep Brian Burns as a Panther.
I mean, if you're Dave Canales, do you want to kick off your head coaching era by trading one of the team's biggest stars?
Well, again, and I agree with D. Wood, it is about making sure that you have playmakers around your quarterback. If you don't have playmakers, there's nobody for him to get the ball. We saw that last year as one of their handicaps. They just didn't have enough playmakers to get the football, too.
All right. Burns tied with Nick Bosa for the eighth most quarterback pressures in the NFL over the last four seasons. Definitely a difference maker. This year's free agent class features really a loaded group of defensive tackles and edge rushers, headlined by a guy that we have talked about so much. Your three-time Super Bowl champion, Chris Jones. Christian Wilkins set to cash in as well after posting a career-high 9 sacks this season. And, well, speaking of Jones, we have to go right here. He put this on X earlier today. Obviously, this is him and Andy Reid, that epic celebration they had after the Super Bowl. Now, I want you to look very closely up to the left-hand upper corner of this, and you can see that this looks like a one-hour phone conversation between Chris Jones and his head coach, Andy Reid. And then I want to add on top of this, that within the last hour, Patrick Mahomes has also reposted this video. Okay, this is the perfect time to bring in Mina Kimes to read the tea leaves on this. Mina, what do you think?
The fact that new piece of information, the fact that Patrick Mahomes reposted it makes me think more likely than not it means Chris Jones is staying, because Mahomes would be excited about that, obviously. But I don't know. These players with their emojis and their question marks can be kind of hard to decipher.
Yeah, I feel like he's more than likely to stay in Kansas City. A lot of these players kind of have the inside scoop of what these guys are going to do in free agency. So I think that Patrick Mahomes retweeting and all that stuff, I feel like he's going to be back in Kansas City.
You know, for Hannah, like, to me, this was probably a week or two of the making in terms of they must have felt like there was a deal to be made, because if we're wearing the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to keep L'Jarius Sneed, you got to keep Chris Jones. So to me, they must have felt like there was a deal to be made here. That's why they franchised L'Jarius Sneed. And therefore, I think what we're seeing today is sort of like the formality of something that they felt good about going back a week.
Coach, how critical is it that he is back in a Chiefs uniform?
I think it's very critical for what they're doing. They got an opportunity to be very good again next year, three-peat possibly. And a lot of it does start with that defensive front, because the quickest way to the quarterback is through the middle. This is an opportunity to keep that type of player and a big impact player, not just on your defense, but for your entire team.
All right, let's pivot to Christian Wilkins, another guy that we do expect to get paid, Mina.
Yeah, somebody who could benefit from a Chris Jones deal getting done because of the dollar figures. Really, really like this player. He is a penetrating defensive tackle, excellent in run defense as well, which is why I like him as a fit for a team like the Houston Texans that have fourth most cap space in the NFL. D'Amico Ryans does not like to blitz a lot. Already a very good run defense, but you bring in Christian Wilkins and continue stopping the run with light boxes, and he would help Will Anderson Jr. as a compliment bookended edge rusher get pressure on the inside. To me, he could be a cornerstone piece of an ascendant defense.
Somebody else that I'm watching is Danielle Hunter, Hannah. He had an unbelievable year, 16 and a half sacks. And to me, where does it line up? In the division, the Detroit Lions, they were 23rd in the league in sacks. They were good at getting pressure, but they had trouble finishing the play. And who else that could finish from a pass rush standpoint better than Danielle Hunter? Right now, there's nobody out in the free agent market. So if I'm the Detroit, I could help myself and I could hurt a competitor. Look for Danielle Hunter to be on the move next week.
Well, the guy I'm looking at is Chase Young. You know, Chase has developed a really nice rapport in San Francisco. He's still coming back from that injury he had suffered early in training camp, so he didn't have a real camp to prepare himself for the regular season. He started to work himself back into shape, but he's got a nice rapport with Nick Bosa. The two of them are really close, and I think it's a good spot for him to go out and work himself back into the lineup and be ready to play next season, stay healthy.
We're talking about all these tough decisions. How painful was it for you when Young and Sweat were both traded just before the deadline?
It was tough, you know, just because of the fact that those are impact players, and as Mike talked about earlier, those guys are hard to find, but But again, when you're going in a different direction, you're moving things around, you know, that's a decision that's made by the organization that this is what's best for us going forward.
Ah, that must have been a gut punch. All right, Coach. Well, we're going to keep it more upbeat because, you know what, we have Riverboat Ron here.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take some chances. We're going to take some big swings. Coming up with free agency less than a week away, Riverboat Ron is here to tell us the big moves that he wants to make, including the Giants landing a big name veteran quarterback. Find out who next. You know I can't get enough. I love it. You know I can't get enough. You
love it. You know I can't get enough. Give me all that. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a lineup we have for you Saturday. The second game of our ABC NHL doubleheader has the Bruins hosting the Penguins at 3 Eastern. Then Carolina and Duke tip off at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN. And then the Celtics take on the Suns in our ABC primetime game. And the stacked UFC 299 main card begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view. A little bit of news just in from Shefty, and the Bears taking care of business with cornerback Jalen Johnson reaching agreement on a 4-year deal. So they had placed a non-exclusive tag on him, Coach. They could have had over 4 months to get this deal done, but they do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did. And it's a very good move. The big reason, more so than anything else, is because now you're solidifying your defense. You went out, you made the trade for Montez Sweat just before the end of the trade deadline. You shored up that pass rush. The pass rush showed a lot of good. They got better as a defense. And then they went out, and now they're showing up the rest of their defense by working on the back end. So it's a good move. They're becoming a much better football team because Matt Eberflus, what he does very well is defense. They went out and they got Eric Washington to come in as their coordinator. Eric Washington is one of the best pass rush coaches, in my opinion. They've got even better on defense.
You know, Hannah, last block we talked about Chris Jones. There was a sense of an inevitability that he was going to get a deal done. That's why they tagged LeJarius Sneed. Similar situation here with Jalen Johnson, only 24 years old, a great young corner. When they franchised him, it just seemed very apparent that it was not if, but when they were going to get him signed. Going back to college, he has great length. He could play man-to-man outside the numbers. That's really hard to do as a corner in this league. Those players are absolutely invaluable. He's played in 53 games. Again, similar to Brian Burns, premium position, young, durable, productive. Those guys should never leave.
Yeah, this is an A-plus to me for a couple of reasons, starting with the player. He can play man, but he's really your prototypical zone corner, perfect fit for Matt Eberflus's defense. Great eyes, that route recognition, good at reading the quarterback, that translates to ball production, excellent spatial awareness. And then the other reason that I love this is the cornerback market in free agency. There are not many good options. We'll see what happens with LeJarius Sneed, but when you look around the league at some of the free agents that are available, it's definitely one of the weaker positions. So the fact that they were able to retain Jalen Johnson, who's an ascendant player, one whose progress has really been linear since coming into the league, at this value, under $20 million a year, I think this is a really, really good signing for a Chicago Bears defense that just keeps getting better and better.
And the Bears, as Shefty tweets, have now made three huge investments at all three levels of the defense in the last calendar year. Coach Rivera mentioned his former player, Montez Sweat, there, a 4-year deal. Tremaine Edmonds there, also a 4-year deal. And now they have locked up Jalen Johnson for 4 years, Coach.
Well, that's because, again, what Matt does best is he coaches defense. So play to your strengths. Be really good stout on defense. Give your offense a chance to score on a short field. Take the football away. Well, you can do that when you've got a great pass rush and you've got DBs that can make plays.
And now we'll see what their grade is going to be in the draft. That's the next big shoe to drop, so to speak, in Chicago.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. All right, so we have you here. So we had to go all riverboat rock.
Okay.
You know we did, right, before we let you go. Willing to take chances, of course, so which all started back in week 6 of 2013 when the Panthers converted 2 fourth downs in a 35-10 win over the Vikings. That was the start of an 8-game winning streak. He's got a big smile on his face here on the set. Later that season, 4th and 10 from your own 20, trailing by 3 with 2.5 minutes left, converting and going on to score the game-winning touchdown, working for you, Coach. And in 2019, converting 2 fourth downs in a win over the Titans, including a fake punt on 4th and 4 from their own 36, earning you the well-deserved nickname of Riverboat Ron. But it was actually John Madden who was kind of at the epicenter of your thinking, your aggressiveness as a coach, right?
Well, what happened in my first 2 seasons was I had this record of being 3-13 in games decided by 6 points or less. And so I reached out to Coach and I said, I need a mentor, somebody to help me understand what it takes to be successful. And he said, you know, you've coached enough football, you've played enough football to know, go by your gut. I mean, I was doing what was supposed to be done. I was going by the book. And I said that to him, and he said, Ron, there is no book. There is no book. Trust yourself. Trust your instincts. And I did, and lo and behold, because I went for it on 4th down, next thing you know, somebody's tabbing me as Riverboat Ron. My daughter thought it was a cool idea. Next thing you know, it took legs and took a life of its own.
All over social media. So yes. Much fun. I love it. And here you are. So you're going to give us some bold moves. Now that you're on the broadcasting side or whatever. Okay, these are the equivalent of going for it, I guess, on 4th down. Give us 3 bold offseason moves and get us started with the Giants, please.
Well, you know, I'd like to see the Giants be definitive about their quarterback situation. Right now, there's been buyer's remorse with Daniel Jones. Well, then move on from him. Go out and find yourself a veteran guy. Kirk Cousins is most certainly a possibility. Russell Wilson is most certainly another possibility, as is Ryan Tannehill. 3 guys, I think, that could fit in an offense, okay, that Brian Daboll can construct and use their quarterback's best ability. So I like that as a possibility. I really do.
Well, I like the idea of the Giants being aggressive at the quarterback position, to Ron's point. Kirk Cousins might be a little too aggressive given the amount of money that they'd be committing to the position with him and Daniel Jones' contract. If I was Kirk Cousins, I'd also be wary of playing behind that offensive line, which is a huge problem. Wilson, though, I think is realistic because, as we've been discussing all week, he is not going to command very much money. My question for that, I guess from New York's perspective, is would you be bringing him as competition for Jones, and would Russell Wilson be willing to enter into that sort of competition?
Yeah, and by the way, this is a discussion because Jones doesn't have any guaranteed money in his contract after this upcoming season. Okay, next, Ron, you have one for the Raiders.
You know, you're giving a shot to Antonio Pierce. Give him a chance to start with a clean slate. Go out, be aggressive in the draft, and find your quarterback of the future. You know, is it a J.J. McCarthy-type guy? If that's the kind of guy you like the best, go get him. Give your new head coach an opportunity. This is a very aggressive, bold move, I believe, because, again, they'd have to move up in the draft to get J.J.
Yeah, Ron, I love J.J. McCarthy as much as you do. I think there's 4 great quarterbacks in this draft. I think they really are going to have to move up far because I think the loser of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, be it Atlanta or Minnesota, is going to try to move up. So I think there's going to be a lot of competition to go get J.J. McCarthy. I think the obvious team to me that's going to trade out is at 5, the Chargers. They have a couple of needs at receiver or offensive line that they could trade back for. So I think, be it the Raiders, Seattle, some other team that's in that 10 to 15 group is really going to have to be aggressive to go get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they have the 13th overall pick. Mel Kiper Jr. has him going 12th in his latest mock, speaking of J.J. McCarthy. All right, you got another one, a bold move for the Cowboys, Riverboat Ron. What is it?
Well, I think they need to go out and sign a running back because, again, I really do believe if they get better at that running game, that's going to really help their passing game, which is also very good right now, so it can be even better, I believe. But I go out and I sign Barkley or I sign DeAndre Swift or even bring Pollard back. But you've got an opportunity, I think, to really help your football team by being better in your running game. And it will most certainly make your passing game even better.
Yeah, Ron, like I like the sound of this because we know how much the Dallas Cowboys struggled in their running game. You know, Pollard last year showed that he wasn't a guy that could be the workhorse type back that Ezekiel Elliott was all those years for the Dallas Cowboys. So, Saquon to me would be, I mean, it would be a great fit because Saquon is a three-down back. He can help. He can definitely help you in the passing game. And the Cowboys, if they're going to go all in like Jerry Jones is talking about, what better way than hurting your divisional opponent and bringing in a top talent like Saquon Barkley?
You love talking about the Cowboys so much, too, don't you, D. Woody? You just love it. So we're going to keep it going. Dak Prescott is expected to get a contract extension this offseason. Ron, do you think he needs to take a team-friendly deal?
You know, I think that would be really good for him and for the Cowboys because, again, not only do they have to improve on the running game, but by doing that, you got to do what? You got to also help your offensive line. So, again, go ahead and do something friendly for the team, Dak. Help them out because, again, it will help you out even more so and give you an even better chance to be as good as you can be.
Well, listen, I'm a former player. Those are like blasphemous words coming from a former player. I don't want to hear team friendly, especially when we see all these guys getting released right now. So, listen, Dak Prescott has earned this situation, and you know it's up to him to decide whether, hey, I want to go cutthroat or you know get the team back a little bit or something.
Well, I think again, to me, it's about making sure you're able to have the players around you. You got to have guys in front of you protecting you and blocking. Yeah. You got to have playmakers out there. And what better way than to have a friendly – I'm not talking about, bottom basement bargains. I'm talking about making a good decision, a good sound decision that helps yourself but also helps your team.
I'll say this. Is Dak Prescott getting paid to be the GM too? Because that's their job. Like, their job is to figure out the salary cap and stuff like that. His job is to go out there and quarterback the Dallas Cowboys.
Greatest quarterback deal of all time as it pertains to the team, Patrick Mahomes. All right. I'm just saying.
Oh, yes.
Couple of Super Bowl titles.
Yep.
Actually, more than a couple, three. All right. Coming up next on NFL Live, the Chargers have some big concerns to make to improve their cap situation. Ooh, what is Jim Harbaugh going to do? What moves would Mikey T make? He's got some advice coming up.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, we're just getting rolling because the start of free agency is next week, and we have an extra hour of coverage for you starting at 3 Eastern Monday and Tuesday on ESPN and continuing with NFL Live until 5 Eastern. Then on Wednesday, we start at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN2 all the way until 5. We've got Adam Schefter, Jeremy Fowler, Breaking the News, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Lewis Riddick, all the expert analysis. So we cannot wait for that. In the meantime, new on NFL Live, Adam Schefter is posting that Jonnu Smith and the Dolphins have also reached an agreement on a 2-year, $10 million deal, adding that the Fins have been hoping a tight end can help to elevate their offense in 2024. Mina's saying, yeah, Mina.
Yeah, I love this. You know, in free agency, we focus on the big deals, but often it's these smaller ones that tend to be impactful, and I think this will be the case for Miami. As prolific as this passing attack with the Dolphins has been, they've gotten very little production out of the tight end position. Out of all teams last year, dead last in yards after the catch, throwing to tight ends. Jonnu Smith, over the last 3 years, ranks first amongst all tight ends. It's not George Kittle, it's not Njoku, it's Jonnu Smith in yards after the catch per reception. This gives Tua an outlet when defenses play too high to try to stop Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. It's a component that's been missing in their offense and makes them more multiple. So I really like this signing.
I love it. Off camera, I just want you to know that Coach is nodding his head to Mina. He's giving this the thumbs up as well. All right. Right, Coach?
Yeah, well, the best point Mina made, obviously, was when you try to stop the deep threat, there's a big opening underneath, and if you get a tight end that can catch and run, that's big for your offense.
Yeah, and we know what kind of security blanket that can be a quarterback. All right, time to read and react to news around the league. Lots of cuts already and more to come as teams try to get under that salary cap before the new league year kicks off Wednesday. And Jim Harbaugh's Chargers, they have some work to do to get under the cap. Currently more than $20 million over, excluding quarterbacks. There are six players in the entire NFL who have a cap hit of more than $32 million. And believe it or not, four of those are on the Chargers. We have Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, also wideouts Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So we go to our Mike, Mikey T. How would you handle this situation with the Chargers?
Yeah, Hannah, unfortunately, you got to make some tough decisions. So you would have to let Khalil Mack go. He's 33 years old. Keenan Allen, 32 years old, got to move on from him. But between those two moves alone, you're going to save $46 million against the cap. I would also go to somebody like Mike Williams, who's been really productive but injury prone, and try to restructure his deal. And those three moves will go a long way in taking care of that cap problem. You hate to move on from those great players, but you really don't have a choice. And that's what happens when you hit on a quarterback like Justin Herbert. We talked about it earlier with Buffalo. It's just part of team building, and you have to move on from those two really good veteran players.
Yeah, and it's a new era, a natural break there with a new head coach. All right, meanwhile, in Houston, C.J. Stroud and company trying to build upon their Cinderella run last year. Here is newly extended tight end Dalton Schultz on C.J.
To have a guy come in like that, like, and step in and just be able to, like, you know, take the reins and hit the ground running. CJ's quickly submitted himself as, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, man. And, you know, I can't say that everybody, you know, saw it coming from, you know, just a rookie, but, you know, talking to CJ, it's just the amount of belief and trust that he has in himself, the way that he carries himself. He was able to do some special things. And, yeah, obviously that was a big part of me wanting to come back, is like, I want to surround myself with guys like that and, you know, guys that kind of galvanize, you know, a football team. And I think he absolutely does that.
D. Woody, they were a big surprise, now big expectations. How do they carry it further?
Yeah, so for me, I look at two positions. I think running back, a position that I think they need to upgrade. Got to get more from the running game that the Houston Texans did last year. So, you know, whether they address it, you know, through free agency or the draft, getting the running back in there. How about the defensive line? You know, I thought the defensive line, you know, they had a pretty good, you know, pretty good. Sheldon Rankins came in. He had a one-year deal. He played well. And then Jonathan Grenard, who had double-digit sacks this past season, they're going to need to either re-sign him or they're going to, you know, again, have to address that defensive line. But those are the two positions I look at for the Houston Texans.
So much to build upon. All right. And now free agent quarterback Joe Flacco is speaking up. You know, he came off the couch, helped the Browns into the postseason, and he has some thoughts about his future. Take a listen.
I can tell you that, you know, all things equal, Cleveland is definitely the place that I would feel best about. Now, you know, that then you have to get into the world of, is somebody going to actually give me a chance to play, you know, and all the different things that go into that. I can't help but have a special feeling about Cleveland just because of the few weeks that I spent there and how great the city was. And listen, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily want that to be a huge part of, like, all of the decision, but I do think it will factor into the decision if I end up having a decision to make.
So, Coach, obviously, if he goes back to Cleveland, we could be looking at him backing up Deshaun Watson. Do you see him as a starter?
Well, I think it would have to be the right situation, set of circumstances. If something were to happen to Minnesota, say Kirk Cousins doesn't come back, I could see it as a good spot for him. Why? Because they've got a veteran offensive unit. So he would fit in very nicely into what they're doing, I believe.
Yeah, turns 39 in January. Had those four straight wins, thrown for over 300-plus yards in all of them. Very impressive. But if there was a veteran quarterback out there, because there's some really interesting names, who would you pair with a young quarterback if you had your choice of everyone available?
Well, I think one of the best mentoring quarterbacks out there, and he's not just a stopgap. He can play, is Jacoby Brissett. I was fortunate. I had him, you know, in Washington. Really loved who he is. I thought he did a great job with us. He really helped an awful lot with Sam Howell. So I think a guy like Jacoby is a guy that if you're drafting high and you got your eyes on one of these young quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett would be a really good pair for him.
Yeah, you and Mina are on some kind of mind meld today because Mina Kimes is always beating that drum with Jacoby Brissett. You love him too,
I am. Mina. He's so underrated. He's a really good player. Sorry.
There you go. There you go. It's a Jacoby Brissett love fest. All right. Still to come, the Patriots. Maybe they should grab Jacoby Brissett. Come on. They're in prime position to draft, though, one of this year's top quarterbacks. What should they actually do, or should they trade back? They have so many needs there in New England. On NFL Live, and Patriots fans might be upset if the team passes on a quarterback with the third pick in the upcoming draft, but the guy who's arguably their best player wouldn't mind if things go differently. Here's Matthew Judon talking about Mac Jones on Good Morning Football.
We know he can do it. We know he can do it. He has to find his confidence, his stride, and get a rhythm under him. It's going to be difficult. It is fourth OC in 4 years. I think Mayo seen it going one way, and he kind of trying to get it to go a different way. Mm. And so right there, we got new life, we got new, you know, expectations. And right now, we all getting healthy and all getting back right. Mm-hmm. But I think when we start, we all gonna try to kind of run through a wall for Mayo.
Really interesting. What do you think the Pats should do in the draft?
Well, you know, you got an opportunity to draft one of the top three quarterbacks coming out. I think you got to do it. I really do, especially with a new offensive coordinator in Alex Van Pelt. Somebody's going to come in and run a very friendly system for the quarterback. So why not find this guy, let this guy be your new face of your franchise, and develop and grow your team with a new head coach as well, with Jared Mayo?
Yeah, I think they should trade down. I look at this Patriots team. They're so devoid of talent. Like, they have one of the worst rosters that we have in the National Football League. And the one thing I worry about if you're bringing in a young quarterback is the lack of infrastructure. And what I mean by that is the players surrounding this guy. We all know that, you know, a lot of the success as far as these young quarterbacks is the environment, the culture, the personnel that they're surrounded by. And right now the Patriots are just bereft of talent.
You know, D. Wood, I'm with Coach Rivera on this. If you can get one of those top three quarterbacks, let's not overthink it. Mac Jones has not turned out to be an A or even an A-. And when you're in the AFC and you got to compete against Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, on and on and on, you need somebody that can make throws consistently down the field. They can't do that right now. Go get a couple offensive linemen, re-sign Michael Owenu, maybe go get Tyron Smith on a one-year deal, but go get the quarterback and build around him.
I would also take a quarterback. I view this as a pretty clear top three, so I think they'll have their choice of one of those quarterbacks, maybe Jane Daniels, Drake May, pick three. And then beyond that, while you're always concerned you've got a young quarterback walking into a difficult situation, we looked at Carolina last year, I think there's potential for New England to make a lot of improvements. They have a ton of cap space to make additions in free agency. This is a very deep draft for offensive tackles and wide receivers, the positions that they have the greatest needs at. And Coach Rivera alluded to something that I think is also worth noting, which is the offense they'll be running with Alex Van Pelt, that under-center play-action boot offense we've seen young quarterbacks have an easier time with coming into the league. So to me, it adds up to a better picture maybe than we've seen that Mac Jones had to go through in New England.
Yeah, I mean, they have over $89 million in cap space. But as far as Mac Jones goes, and to hear Matthew Judon talk about it, maybe we're not seeing him in as favorable a light as some of his teammates do, Coach. Is that a possibility, do you think, a viable one, knowing what you know about the coaching change there, to keep him at quarterback and try to resurrect his career?
It is a fair argument because he hasn't had the same coordinator. For 3 years, he's had somebody different calling the plays for him. There's an opportunity now to have a stable situation where now you have somebody who's going to come in, build an offense, hopefully be there for a long time. It could be worth it. And then if that happens, then, you know, you do trade back. You do find an opportunity to get some more draft capital and build the rest of your team. But it's hard for me not to take that top three pick.
Yeah, and turn the page with a new coaching staff. Okay, guys, one more thing. NFC North rivalry is apparently set aside for a night because we have Matt LaFleur and Matt Eberflus at the Marquette UConn game. Sitting next to each other. Now, apparently, Eberflus was on campus with his daughter, and the school gave him tickets, and he sat down and look who was sitting with him. Would you attend a sporting event with Sean Payton, your biggest rival coach?
I would. You know, Sean was my biggest rival when we were in the NFC South. And again, he's a terrific football coach, a guy that I really appreciated competing against.
Okay, so the answer is yes. Well done. Good job, Coach Riverboat Ron on NFL Live. We'll see y'all tomorrow.